Today, as we come to the table,
can you imagine what kind of tsunami would be hitting the waves of nearby nations from an asteroid striking the oceans? Just throw a rock in the water. Watch what it does, the ripple effect. Imagine something that massive hitting the oceans and sending these massive waves in all directions. It's going to be unbelievably devastating. Now you know why the Bible says in another place that in the last days, men's hearts will be failing them from fear. It's going to be overwhelming. And then a third of the sea gets wiped out, a third full of blood. Again, and a third, again, even you saw like in the judgments of Egypt, God turned the water to blood and said, you know what? You want to kill the servants of God? Then drink blood.
Think of the fear that gripped us when the news about the coronavirus first started coming out. Remember the images we've all seen of the after effects of tsunamis, hurricanes, earthquakes, and fires over the last few decades? Now imagine all of those things happening at once. The panic we experienced in the spring of 2020 was mild by comparison. Well, thanks for taking the time to join us as we come to the table, the daily Bible study program of Mark Kirk, senior pastor of Calvary Knoxville. While we will see things getting worse, the good news for believers is that we won't experience the worst of it. God won't let his children go through that. As Pastor Mark will warn in today's message, if you don't know the Lord already, don't put it off any longer. Now, let's join Pastor Mark in the book of Revelation chapter 8 as he continues his message, God's Environmental Destruction Program.
Why is there 30 minutes in heaven? It's this holy hush, this holy awe that comes upon everyone because they realize the massive judgment of God that's about to come upon the earth. And it's as if no one can even say anything, even God himself, not wanting to judge the earth, not wanting to have to do this, trying everything he could, sending his own son to the earth, and now mankind has so rejected him. God says, I hate to have to do this, but I'm a righteous God, and even as I forgive, I must judge or I wouldn't be righteous, and I'm going to bring that judgment. And for 30 minutes, total silence. Let me give you 10 seconds of total silence. Here we go right now. Ten seconds. 30 minutes, just from the roaring praise of God to everybody standing. It's just this, there's such a reverence now to what's about to take place. How sad, how awesome. But yet the glory of God being revealed, the hope of mankind, the last gasp of God to break mankind, to get him into heaven, to join us that have been taken in the rapture. And that's where we take up silence for about half an hour when the seventh seal was opened. And notice this, and I saw the seven angels who stand before God, and to them were given seven trumpets. So they step forward, they're given seven trumpets as this seventh seal is opened, leading into the trumpet blast that are going to be way worse than the seals. And then another angel having a golden censer came and stood at the altar, and he was given much incense that he should offer it with the prayers of the saints upon the golden altar, which was before the throne. Now, this is really intriguing to me because remember, when God gave Moses the plans for the earthly tabernacle, he said, make it exactly the way I'm telling you because it is a picture of what heaven looks like. Now, obviously, you can't display what heaven looks like in the throne room of God, but you get an idea. The seven lamps there, the golden menorah, are like the seven flames that it says are burning by God's throne. You have the Ark of the Covenant, which is where the mercy seat of God was. That's the throne of God, if you will. All these imageries are there. The golden incense altar was right outside, right in front of the Ark of the Covenant, or we would say in front of the throne of God in heaven. It's a picture of that. And the priests would go in and they would take the incense and they put hot coals on it and they sprinkle incense on top of the hot coals and it would fill the room with this just amazing fragrance, you know, and it represented the prayers of the people of Israel going up before God. The priest would pray for the people. He would pray for the nation as the plume arose and filled the room, not with like a smoke you would cough, you know, type thing, but just a sweet smell in the room, a beautiful incense. And according to history, it was amazing the way it smelled. And so this is now the heavenly picture of that. This is the heavenly altar of incense. And the angel goes forward with all of our prayers that we're praying now that haven't been answered, and all the prayers that were being prayed during the beginning of the great tribulation. And they take this and he pours it out on the altar before God, and the smoke arises and the fragrance, and all these prayers are about to be answered. And in answering those prayers, God is about to judge the earth. Remember, we saw a group that came out last week out of the great tribulation, and it said, "Lord, how long until you bring vengeance upon those that have tortured us and put us to death on the earth, the ones that missed the rapture?" And he says, "Don't worry, it's coming. Now we're going to see it begin to be answered. The prayers are being poured out. The altar of incense is there. It's rising up to the Lord. It's the prayer of the saints upon the golden altar at the throne. And the smoke of the incense with the prayers of the saints ascended before God. And the angel's hand, rather from the angel's hand, and the angel took the censer, that is the censer. Imagine it like, it's like a lantern you would hold type idea is the best thing, the way the priest's censers look like. So like this lantern you're holding, but full of this incense, smoke coming out, not only the altar, but the incense, well, the censer would have had it as well, with the fire and the smoke in both. And he says, again, you see the heavenly one. He took the censer, filled it with fire from the altar, and threw it to the earth. Again, here's the answer to prayer. God's judgment begins in greater measure. And there were noises and thunderings and lightnings and an earthquake. The Bible says there'll be one earthquake that strikes in the Middle East and strikes the Jerusalem area, where 10,000 people alone will die from that earthquake. Maybe this is that earthquake. I don't know. We don't know the exact timing of all these things. There's going to be multiple earthquakes and multiple lightnings and thunderings and all these things. But now we see this massive earthquake as it strikes the earth. And so the seven angels who had the seven trumpets prepared themselves to sound. So the final seal's been opened. Now it's time to bring the further judgment to cleanse the earth and to bring repentance for those who will before the Lord comes back to take his possession. Now we come to the first trumpet, and notice what happens. The first angel sounded, so this trumpet blast, I'm sure it's going to be massive. By the way, you'll hear it. You'll be there listening to this trumpet blast. You'll be watching this scene. And hail and fire followed, mingled with blood, and they were thrown to the earth, and a third of the trees were burned up, and all the green grass was burned up. Later on, we're going to find out that some of these hailstones weigh up to 75 to 100 pounds that are coming upon the earth. You talk about like a good neighbor, you know, calling your insurance company. You know, just what we had just a few years ago in that storm where made most of our cars look like a golf ball, right? This is going to be massive. Crashing through houses, crashing through cars, all kinds of things happening. And notice it says here, when it's mingled with blood, showing the destruction that'll take place, and a third of the trees are burned up and all the grass is burned up. Now try to imagine a third of the earth on fire. You think about the fires in California or Colorado or wherever you see fires. Imagine the United States and now portion off a third of it, and it's just black and gone, burned with fire. No doubt it won't be all in one spot. It'll probably be spread out in different areas. But it'll have a total conglomerate of a third of the earth, a third of America, a third of everything just in blazes, burning in fire. Think about the homes that will be destroyed, the lives that will be destroyed, the animals, the people, the environment. Now, God has begun his environmental destruction program. Those who have been putting more emphasis on the trees and the green than they have on God are now going to have nothing to turn to. It's a wonderful thing, although it's horrible. It's wonderful because it'll turn their hearts to God, and it's also wonderful because we're going to see, as I said at the end, where you guys will have some hope, like the first service didn't get, that the Lord's going to restore it all, right? And so a third of it, just it's hard to even imagine how that would affect businesses, cities, buildings, homes, people, animals, environment, everything. And the first trumpet is done, no doubt. That's why there was this pause of this holy awe that's taking place as you begin to watch these things happen worldwide. Now the second trumpeter, again, raises his trumpet to his lips. The second angel sounded, verse 8, and something like a great mountain burning with fire was thrown into the sea, and a third of the sea became blood, and a third of the living creatures in the sea died, and a third of the ships were destroyed. Notice in the first trumpet and the second trumpet, he's working in thirds at this point and of the whole earth. But as they sound this trumpet, and again, you'll see John's description, something like a great mountain. John doesn't know what it is for sure. And we'll see him all through the scripture or through the revelation say, it's like this, it's like that, because it's hard to describe what he's really watching. But this is probably, and only God knows, it may not be, but this very likely may be an asteroid striking the earth. Maybe you've seen over the last few years the concern that scientists have. We've had several asteroids that have passed by very close, really, in space proximity, if you will, to the Earth, and have made scientists a little bit nervous. We had one a few months ago, they didn't even know it was there, and suddenly it kind of flew by between us and the moon. And they were like, whoa, you know, that's kind of a little surprise there. And how we missed that, I don't know. One of these is not going to miss. It appears it's going to fly like a mountain on fire into the Earth's atmosphere, and it's going to strike the oceans, a particular ocean, a particular sea, which will affect, no doubt, the oceans around the world, but a third of the sea will become blood. Why? All of the marine life that will be suddenly destroyed, not to mention all of the ships, all of the people. The other things that are on, imagine just the devastation that's going to be done to the Earth at that time when it strikes. And I was thinking about this as well. You remember the tsunamis we've had recently. Can you imagine what kind of tsunami would be hitting the waves of nearby nations from an asteroid striking the oceans? Just throw a rock in the water. Watch what it does, the ripple effect. Imagine something that massive hitting the oceans and sending these massive waves in all directions. It's going to be unbelievably devastating. Now you know why the Bible says in another place that in the last days, men's hearts will be failing them from fear. It's going to be overwhelming. And then a third of the sea gets wiped out, a third full of blood. Again, and a third, again, even you saw like in the judgments of Egypt, God turned the water to blood and said, you know what, you want to kill the servants of God? Then drink blood. In Revelation, the same thing. You want to kill the servants of God, which we know they'll be doing in the last days? I'm going to give you blood as water. And it's just judgment for the wicked that God's bringing on them. Not that God wants to, but God is a just God. And notice verse 9, and a third of the living creatures in the sea died, as we said, and a third of the ships were destroyed. The second trumpet is now done. Now we move on to the third trumpet. Raises the trumpet to his lips. Then the third angel sounded, and a great star fell from heaven. Now again, no doubt another asteroid or meteorite, could be something different, but it would appear that's what we're looking at, burning like a torch. Again, you know how they look when they come in the atmosphere and the flame and this that follows them. And it fell on a third of the rivers. Now the first was the oceans. So the oceans are polluted. The oceans are disturbed in great way. Now we come to the rivers, which is the main source of drinking water, and the springs of water. So you have the rivers and the springs of water. The name of the star is wormwood. Now, wormwood is a poisonous substance. And we now know that anytime there's a major catastrophe in an area near streams, it pollutes those streams. If there's a volcano or anything like that, it pollutes the waters right around it. And again, this is what he's saying. The waters are going to be polluted because of the explosion that will happen. The debris that'll go up in the air with the water. And it says a third of the waters became wormwood, that is poisoned. And many men died from the water because it was made bitter. Again, you still got to drink. So you drink what's in front of you. You have no choice. And because of that, many will be dying. And many will be sick simply from what happened here when we see this third trumpet taking place. Again, this destruction now of the trees and the grass, the destruction here of the ocean and of the creatures and the ships, and now destruction here of the rivers and the fish in the rivers and the drinking water of mankind after the third trumpet. Now, again, you know why there was a holy pause. Now we come to the fourth trumpet and the last trumpet today that we'll see. Then the fourth angel sounded, and a third, here we go with that whole thirds again, a third of the sun was struck, a third of the moon was struck, and a third of the stars, so that a third of them were darkened. No doubt all the debris in the atmosphere. You've had all these devastations, these asteroids striking the earth, filling the earth with debris, volcanoes, everything, clouds of smoke in the sky, dimming the sun by a third, dimming the stars by a third, dimming the moon by a third. And so the earth becomes dark, and no doubt the earth becomes for a moment much probably cooler because of the blocking of all this. But as we said, at some point, the sun will increase its intensity up to 7 times and drown all that out, so it won't matter. But it says, a third of the day did not shine, and likewise the night. And I looked, and I heard an angel flying through the midst of heaven, saying with a loud voice. Now, this is amazing to me. If this isn't devastating enough, there's already been the 30-minute pause, right? Now look at this. The angel says this with a loud voice, woe, woe, woe. There's a woe for each of the remaining trumpet blasts because they're so devastating, much worse than even what we've seen. Woe, woe, woe to the inhabitants of the earth because of the remaining blasts of the trumpet of the three angels who are about to sound. And so again, there's this whole changeover saying, you think that was bad? Watch what's about to happen now. Again, aren't you glad we're not going to be here. If you don't know the Lord, I don't know what's keeping you from giving your life to the Lord. And it's much better to be saved by love and by the fact of saying Jesus loves you and he's ready to receive you today into the kingdom. But if God uses holy fear, then God uses holy fear. And again, for this group of people left behind, that's what it's going to take for many of them to be saved. But we know that many of them will be saved because of what the scripture tells us. Next week, we'll get into the fifth, the sixth, and the seventh trumpet, if you will, as we finally get to these, or the fifth and the sixth, and there'll be a break there, and then we'll get to the seventh trumpet. But again, we're going to see that they're worse even than this. So there's major, major devastation on the way after the rapture of the church. And I want to give it that context so that you don't leave here again worrying about, oh no, we're going to be here, or what's going to happen, or this kind of thing. I'm thoroughly convinced that we're going to be gone before any of this happens for a number of reasons. The scripture being the main reason, the scripture is very clear, I believe, on that. But God, again, would not send his church through this. Why? Because we've not been appointed to wrath. 1 Thessalonians 5:9. Now, there's something I want to cover before we finish today. I told you guys, this is where I ended with poor service number one. Right? Thanks a lot, Pastor Mark. Merry Christmas to you, too. But here's what the Bible says. And we're going to get back into the destructions next week that God's going to be doing. But here's what the Bible says. When the Lord comes back, he's going to destroy the environment. He's absolutely going to wipe it out. He's going to pollute the waters. He's going to pollute the air. He's going to destroy everything. He's going to do it by his hand to get man's attention because we're worshiping it. We're putting it before God. So God's going to take action. But God's not going to leave it that way. Once those gods are removed out of the way, once anything between him is moved out of the way, and man, all of mankind that's going to come to him have come, and heaven's been restored, when he comes back in the second coming, the Bible says he will establish his throne on the earth and he'll begin a process. Not all of the earth in total restoration the way it was at the Garden of Eden, because there still will be some areas that will be dry, the Bible says, due to different reasons we won't get into theologically today because we don't have time, but the majority of the earth he's going to restore like the Garden of Eden. The waters will be pristine. They'll be beautiful. They'll be sparkling. The environment will be completely restored. The cleanest air you've ever had, the cleanest water you've ever had, the most beautiful view of all the stars, everything will be restored to an amazing state. So don't worry. God brings judgment, but he brings wonderful restoration. And I wanted to read, again, if you want to turn to Isaiah chapter 11, it's 10 verses I'm going to read, so I encourage you to turn there so you can see it with me. The prophet Isaiah, one of the larger prophets toward the middle of the Bible. If you come to Psalms, you've gone too far left, turn back to the right a little bit more and go to Isaiah. Listen how God describes. This is describing what the earth is going to be like when the Lord comes back. This is what he's going to do, and this is what we can look forward to. Isaiah chapter 11, starting in verse 1, says, "There shall come forth a rod from the stem of Jesse." This is a terminology used for Jesus Christ. That's his lineage. "And a branch shall grow out of his roots. The spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him, the spirit of wisdom and understanding, the spirit of counsel and might, the spirit of knowledge and of the fear of the Lord. His delight is in the fear of the Lord, and he shall not judge by the sight of his eyes, nor decide by the hearing of his ears, but with righteousness he shall judge the poor and decide with equity for the meek of the earth. He shall strike the earth with the rod of his mouth." Again, we just saw that, and there'll be some judgments that'll happen after that. "And with the breath of his lips, he shall slay the wicked. Righteousness shall be the belt of his loins, and faithfulness the belt of his waist. The wolf also shall dwell with the lamb." So animals will be restored. They won't be attacking each other. "The leopard shall lie down with the young goat, the calf and the young lion and the fatling together, and a little child shall lead them." Again, you think these little children leading like lions around, you know, holding their mane, you know, dragging them or whatever. I think it's just so awesome, you know. It's like, leave that lion alone, honey. You're bugging him to death, you know. It's like, you'll see them lay on their back with their legs up and the kids rubbing their bellies and playing on them. It's going to be exciting. I can't wait to see that. Anyway, it says, "The cow shall graze and the bear shall graze." Again, not threatening each other. There'll be peace worldwide among the animals and mankind as everything is restored, like in the garden. "The cow and the bear shall graze. Their young ones shall lie down together. And the lion shall eat straw like the ox. The nursing child shall play by the cobra's hole. And the weaned child shall put his hand in the viper's den." Get prepared for that, moms. "They shall not hurt nor destroy in all my holy mountain. For the earth shall be full of the knowledge of the Lord as the waters cover the sea. And in that day there shall be a root of Jesse," that is the Lord, "who shall stand as a banner to the people. For the Gentiles shall seek him, and his resting place shall be glorious." That is the place of his throne. So that's how God's going to restore it. What about the restoration of the waters? I want to read one more thing, and then we'll finish up here. This is the last passage out of Ezekiel. You can turn there. You can listen to me and read it later because I've got it right here. Ezekiel 47, verses 7 through 12. This is the vision of Ezekiel after God restores the earth and restores the waters, what he sees. He says in verse 7, when I returned there, that is Ezekiel, along the bank of the river were many trees on one side and the other. He's now in Jerusalem, around the Jerusalem area. And he said to me, the water flows toward the eastern region. Again, the Bible says when the Lord comes back, there'll be a stream that flows out of the south side of the Temple Mount. And it will go down, it'll strike the Mediterranean, it will go down and strike the Dead Sea, and it'll be fresh water from God that will bring all the oceans and the waters of the world back to life. That's what he's talking about. The waters flowed toward the eastern region, which goes down into the valley and enters the Dead Sea. When it reaches the sea, its waters are healed. Nothing can live in the Dead Sea today. But when the Lord's water from the Temple Mount flows down there and touches it, it'll spring to life. And listen to what it says. It shall be that every living thing that moves wherever this river goes will live. There will be a very great multitude of fish because the waters go there, for they will be healed and everything will live wherever the river goes. It shall be that fishermen will stand by it from En-Gedi to Eglaim, that's down at the Dead Sea, and they'll be spreading their nets. Their fish will be the same kinds as the fish of the Great Sea, exceedingly many. But its swamps and marshes will not be healed. They'll be given over to salt. Along the bank of the river, on this side and that, will grow all kinds of trees used for food. Their leaves will not wither. Their fruit will not fail. They will bear fruit every month because their water flows from the sanctuary and will be food and their leaves for medicine. It tells us in Zechariah that this water will not only flow down to the Dead Sea and touch it, it'll flow down to the Mediterranean Sea, touching the oceans of the world, and all of the oceans and rivers of the world will be healed. Amazing. The freshest water, the cleanest water, the most beautiful oceans, the most gorgeous marine life, everything restored the way it was supposed to be. The atmosphere beautifully clear, the sky, the stars, like nothing we've ever seen before. So while we have to go through this great devastation as God judges the earth because mankind is worshiping the earth, after God is done, he brings restoration. You know, some of you, God has had to destroy the life you currently have in order to get your attention and bring you to Christ. And those of you that have that testimony, you know what I'm talking about. God destroyed all the other gods. That is everything that was between you and God. He took out of the way and he brought you to himself. And you're thankful for that because now you know the King of the universe. But some of you this morning right now, God may be destroying all the gods of your life. Every dream you had because of COVID is disappearing. Maybe it's finances. Maybe it's a business. Maybe it's the desire to be an athlete one day and you're young, but you can't train like you want or do what you wanted. God is using all of this to break mankind down to get people to turn their eyes toward God. If that is you this morning, don't fight it. Don't fight it. Say, Lord, remove the gods out of my life. I want you to be first. I want you to be above all. I turn my eyes to you. And I promise you, not only will God fill you with joy now in the midst of this mess, you're going to have eternal joy to look forward to when God restores this world and sits on his throne of his kingdom over the entire earth one day, I believe very soon. So, while some of the news may seem bad today, while some of the judgments that God brings may be devastating, we have great hope and great joy ahead.
And just like that, another time at the table of God's Word has come to an end. Pastor Mark will continue teaching through the book of Revelation next time. But you don't have to wait until then to listen to more great Bible studies. You can access this series plus much more at thewaymedia.net. Feel free to share these messages with anyone who wants to know more about what the Bible has to say. Before we close, we want you to know if you live in the Knoxville area, we invite you to join Pastor Mark and the community of Jesus followers at Calvary Knoxville for our next service. For over 20 years, it's been incredible to see how God has used us in our local community and through his radio outreach. There's always a seat for you, Sunday mornings at 8, 9:30, or 11:15. We also meet on Sunday nights at 6 or Wednesday nights at 7. If you can't make it in person, that's not a problem. You can join us online. We're streaming our services through the Way Media app. You can download this from your app store or right from thewaymedia.net. To find out more info on Calvary Knoxville, scroll to the bottom of thewaymedia.net for a link to our church website. Pastor Mark has more to share from the book of Revelation, a fascinating and sometimes mind-boggling book that consists of things from the past and touches on what's to come in the future. One sure way to not be anxious about the things written in Revelation is to fully understand exactly what God's telling us prophetically. So be sure to join us the next time we come to the table. Come to the Table is a radio outreach ministry of Calvary Knoxville.